Bloomberg The First Word with Ken Pruitt. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Joining us now is Adam Cole, head of global currency strategy at RBC Europe in London. Good morning, Adam. The Treasury Department here in the U.S. reporting again yesterday that China is not manipulating the U.N. Are you guys still laughing about that, or is the joke so old that it's not even worth repeating anymore?
I think it's that is an easier claim to defend from where we are now than where we were a year ago. Essentially, China's foreign exchange reserves stopped increasing and have been, to all intents and purposes, flat for the last year. So if you take that as one criterion of manipulation, then it's certainly true that China is taking a much more market-oriented approach in that respect. And equally, just looking at the realized volatility in dollar China exchange rate, that has increased markedly. So I think that's objectively an easier claim to defend now than it has been historically.
Well, where's China going with this? The UN just under a 19-year high at this point.
I think we'll see not necessarily a much stronger trend appreciation of the currency, but actually much more volatility. And our reading is that in part this reflects much less emphasis put on the spot rate versus just the dollar. So China has for some time suggested it was going to start looking at a broader basket of currencies rather than just the dollar rate. And I think the evidence from the way the currency is moving is that they are now beginning to do that. So we'll see the currency moving more against the dollar as general dollar movements do get reflected in dollar China.
And when do they become fully convertible? When does it become something that we put up on our trading screens?
And that I think is still a distant prospect. So in terms of the full removal of capital controls and the yuan becoming a convertible currency, all the implications that go with that being a proper reserve currency, etc., I think realistically we're probably still talking 5 to 10 years into the future.
So as people look at China, how do you play it? Are you buying substitutes for the yuan, or do you just buy the non-deliverable forwards?
I think to a lot of investors, it means looking for substitutes and playing it through proxy trades. And the clearest way, I think, that investors position for Chinese trends in G10 currencies is to take the Australian dollar as a proxy for China, and particularly so when investors are playing the China growth background rather than the currency itself. So if, as we suspect, the activity data out of China start to look a little better from here, and confirming that the third quarter of this year was probably the bottom of the cycle, one of the major beneficiaries of that outside of China itself should be the Australian dollar.
Speaking of the Aussie, it's been kind of volatile over the last 3 months or so.
Yes, it has, reflecting really beyond its own fundamentals, the fact that it tends to get thrown around by general risk appetite. And what we've seen, of course, for the last 3 months is a lot of volatility around not much of a trend in terms of what we take as general proxies for risk appetite. And the Aussie is similarly volatile around not much of a trend as a result.
Now, a currency that hasn't been all that volatile is the euro lately. It's sort of been trading in this 128 to 130 range as the headlines come and go. Are we likely to stay there?
I think for the very short term, probably yes. And the way the market has traded off the Greek news this week clearly sends the message, I think, that there was good news in the price already. As far as Greek was concerned, markets were fully prepared for a deal being put together. Longer term, the much more critical issue is Spain, and I think markets are probably not priced for Spain actually coming forward asking for a bailout and unlocking the bond purchases from the ECB. Now, if we get that in the early part of next year, then I think we do break out of the range, and in my view, we break out to the top side as the risk premium that the euro carries get compressed as a result of that unlocking of the ECB's bond purchase program.
A lot of people looking for a safe haven with all these other currencies being volatile have gone into Sweden and Norway, but we saw them take big dives yesterday, the Noki and Seki. What's happening there?
I think there's an element of the central banks there being two of the few central banks in the world that still have conventional policy levers to pull. And in Sweden in particular, having delivered one surprise interest rate cut, markets go into the next central bank meeting in December, starting to prepare for another central bank rate cut at that meeting. It's not in the price yet, but I think we're moving in that direction. Whereas many currencies have stopped trading on their own fundamentals as central banks have taken rates to the zero bound and kept them there, in the case of those two currencies, we are still some way away from that, and we are still trading off rate expectations from the local central banks to a degree.
Adam Cole, thank you very much. He's head of global currency strategy at RBC Europe in London.
You can listen to Bloomberg The First Word weekday mornings at 5 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM satellite radio channel 113. Copyright 2012 Bloomberg LP.